love singing about how great our God is. But it is after dinner, and it's an evening, and it's easy to start to think, oh, man, I'm just going to fade away. Don't do it. We get today and tonight to look into Luke again, and we're continuing in this gospel account, but we're shortening a little because it's the evening. But I wanted to share with you guys, you know, I have moles in our yard. If any of you have ever experienced that lovely thing, there's these little mounds that started appearing. And I didn't know what to do. And finally, I decided, you know, to go get this. We went to the hardware store. I got these really high-tech gopher hawk things. They're amazing. But if you don't like moles getting removed, don't worry. I haven't been able to catch a single one. I put them in their little holes, and I probably did the wrong thing. But you can imagine me going around my yard kind of with this little stick thing you poke in, trying to figure out where the hidden tunnels are so that you can trap them and do it. You know, sometimes I feel like we think Christianity is a little like that. Our Christian living in life, especially when it comes to what's called the kingdom of God. You guys think about the kingdom of God at all? Like, what are we doing? What do we know? Who are we when it comes to being in God's kingdom? And what's going to happen? Is the kingdom being established now? I know that I'm in the kingdom. I know some things about God when Jesus came, but I kind of get into this mindset that I got to find the hidden pieces somewhere. The very least what I have to do is figure out, like, what my purpose is here in this life, this kingdom. And I think sometimes I slip into this, like, well, if I just can trap the moles, that's a little silly. So if I can just improve things, you know, God's having me advance his kingdom somehow, I'm maybe the vermin remover. Or maybe you think, well, you know, look around us. This is so beautiful. It's heavenly. It's like the kingdom of God. But you know what? It's a little bit more like the kingdom of God this year than last year. Why? Have you seen the toilets? And you start thinking, hey, incremental improvement. That's what God's doing. He's slowly getting us better so that we might be closer and closer to the kingdom of God. And I want to share with you something that Jesus talked about what it really means to be in the kingdom. And we are, if you believe in Jesus today, and our group here, I don't know all of you personally, but I'll tell you what, most of us here, we say, man, I trust Jesus. He's my hope. We are in the kingdom. And if you're in the kingdom, what does that mean? What's happening? What's going on? What is it like? And I want you to know, and even if you're like, man, I don't even know what you're talking about, Dax, I don't believe in Jesus, it's still helpful for you to hear the encouragement of what it means, this kingdom life. And it's from Luke's gospel, it's chapter 17. So I'm gonna read it as we go. I know most of you probably don't have a Bible up here, but if you do and want to look, we're in the middle of chapter 17. So, it starts in verse 20, and Jesus is standing there, and the Pharisees are standing around, and the disciples are all gathered around. And the Pharisees asked, says, being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus answered them, the kingdom of God is not coming in ways that can be observed. Nor will they say, look, here it is, or there, behold, for the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. Well, that's a very remarkable statement. Because the Pharisees, and they asked Jesus this question, when is the kingdom of God coming? And there's this idea they're thinking about, it's probably from Daniel, when there's this whole passage about how the kingdom is coming to the Son, and he's going to establish his dominion and authority and establish justice and righteousness. And so the Pharisees are like, hey, you know, we're under these Roman guys, we don't like it. Well, Jesus, when will the kingdom be established? So Jesus says, you can't see it. Well, what does that mean? Say, yeah, I'm part of the kingdom of God, but it's spiritually inside me. Is that what he means? No, he says it's in your midst. That means Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is standing right there among them. And you know with me, don't you, that all the Bible points to Jesus. That the whole story has always been that God would send his son. That in Psalm 2 is the one who says, kiss the scepter of the son, because he's the ruler. And so he's appeared and he's standing here and they're asking him, when is your kingdom? And the king is there. He arrived. And we hear it too. And it seems unsatisfying to me. I don't know about if that's true of you, but it's true of me. If someone tells you, okay, Jesus came, I said, yeah, I get that. Okay, Jesus paid for all my sin. Yeah, I get that too. Okay, you're in his kingdom. Well, what do I do? What does that mean? Because I can observationally say that things still go wrong all the time. I mean, when I came up to the camp out just a few hours ago, I chatted with Stephen Wright because he turned his ankle. Why did he have to turn his ankle? Why didn't God prevent harm from him? Stephen, are you here? Sorry, dude. You're in the kingdom. So, but does the kingdom then include, you know, twisted ankles, cuts and bruises, hurts and things that happen? I don't see it. So I get a little bit like, well, what's my role? What does that look like? And is it that the kingdom has started and it's up to us to get it done? Because that's where my brain goes. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Well, that's a prayer. Actually, it's a prayer that doesn't have anything to do with my action. But then I think if I pray it, I better do it. So we all go busily about the idea of getting the kingdom here. So listen to what Jesus says. He says to the disciples in verse 22, the days are coming when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And they will say to you, look there or look here. Do not go out or follow them. For as the lightning flashes and the lights of the sky from one side to the other, so will the Son of Man be in his day. What did Jesus say? Don't be thinking you're going to miss anything. Don't be thinking that it's somehow hidden away inside you and you've got to use your mole stick to go find it. Don't be thinking that you're going to be around and also you can't even control when it's coming. I mean, you'll want to see it. Boy, howdy we do. But don't follow anyone who says, oh, look, Jesus showed up in Papua New Guinea. Because he hasn't. When Jesus reveals his power, you will know it. When he acts, it isn't a small secret voice in your hidden heart. It's lightning in the sky. And you're going to desire, and you're not going to see it, means you have really nothing to do with that kingdom being established to you. I mean, listen to how the Bible says. Let me just give you a couple verses. Luke chapter 12, we read this. Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. How do you get the kingdom? It's given to you. Or in 2 Timothy, if you want to go to Paul, and Paul says, the Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. He's going to do it. So when the king comes and the king extends a promise to you and the king says, I've done it all. Trust me. You're in my kingdom. We say, yeah, I am. And we know that we don't do anything. He gives it to us. Doesn't mean he doesn't have stuff he does or he doesn't have a program. Look what Jesus says. He says in Luke 17:26, it says, but he must first suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the days of the Son of Man. So, we're talking about life after Jesus does his thing, which he did, he went to the cross and died. And then life just kind of keeps going. Hasn't that ever hit you guys? Hasn't it ever been a part of your experience? It's like, yeah, I'm a Christian. Jesus, thank you, you saved me. And then, like, I still had to wake up the next morning and go to my job. I still have the same physical problems that I had before. I still have the same struggles with anger I have. I still have the same life that I had before. And I'm a little bit like, well, I'm wanting things to change radically. And then I start looking for it. Man, maybe I just missed it. Maybe I haven't done all the transformational things I'm supposed to do. And Jesus says, I'm the transformation. I've got you. And it's going to be like this life going on. Like in the days of Noah. What's the days of Noah thing? They'd never even heard of rain. They were eating and drinking and doing their life. And God said, no, something's going to change. And at the appropriate time, it changed. Life happened in a radical new way. That's our faith. I think a radical new thing is coming, don't you? I don't think it's going to be like this. As beautiful as this place is, and it's amazing, I love it up here. Man, I could stay up here for a time. It's not the kingdom of God. That's the idea. Daily living. He keeps going. It says they were eating and drinking and marrying and being given in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. This sudden change is coming, you guys. This is our faith. We know that it's true. It's not only Noah. He gives another example. He says, likewise, just as it was in the days of Lot. Remember Lot back in Genesis 22. They were eating and drinking and buying and selling and planting and building. But on the day when Lot went out from Sodom, fire and sulfur rained from heaven and destroyed them all. So it will be on the day when the Son of Man is revealed. I just give it a pause to let that sink in. Because I know what normally people do, what they do is they say, you know, judgment's coming. Make sure you get people into the kingdom. Now, this is about you and me. Are you in the kingdom? And if so, what's your life? It's waiting for when God will act. That's what we're doing. We're patient waiters. Because that's what he's talking about here. Because when there's a change happen, it's a sudden change. What we do, all of us, we eat and drink, that sustains life. We buy and sell, that's engaging in activities of life. We plant and build, right? We're building up in this life. All of this happened in Sodom. All of it happens here. We try and moralize, we try and make it like, oh, that's building the kingdom. No, no, it's not. That's living on earth. There was a change, and it was a sudden change, and God brought a sudden change, and he did it. And you start to see how it shapes our lives, because as I do these things, I mean, I engage in buying and selling. Costco's amazing. You guys have been to Costco, like, wow. Look at all the things you can buy. I plant and I build, but I don't mistake that for the kingdom of God, which is an act of God himself and a change that he brings. It's coming. It's why we sing songs. It's coming. I enjoy this life, but there's going to be changes. It says, on that day, let the one who's on the housetop with his goods in the house not come down and take them away. And likewise, get the one who's in the field and not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to preserve his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life will keep it. I tell you, in that night, there will be two in one bed. One will be taken, the other left. There'll be two women grinding together. One will be taken, the other left. Whoa. There's a sudden revelation of the Son of Man, like lightning in the heavens. I know it's not that we're getting into left behind territory. Like there's a hidden removal of people, but I'm telling you, it won't be hidden. It will be like fire and sulfur raining down from heaven. That's hard to miss. I mean, really. Hasn't that happened to you? It's happened to me. I woke up and no one was around. And I thought, oh no, I've been left behind. Oh no. That is so not a biblical thought. But the issue here is there's no establishing going on by you. There's no, we'll get society together and then improvements will happen and then Jesus will come back. There's just a longing for the supernatural to impede on the world and Jesus to come and set up his kingdom we can see that he's already promised that we're already in. We're lights in the world, so we stand for mercy and for justice and for peace and for virtue. But those are found first and foremost in Jesus. And so it's this upside down thing that when we think we're building a just society, an improved nation, we're actually building something that's going to be burned. If you're hearing Jesus in this. I mean, the key verse, whoever seeks to preserve his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life will keep it. It's not about our building. It's about the rock we're standing on. The great sign is death. Lose your life and gain it. Death, life through resurrection, that's a huge thing for you and me in Christ. If you don't know that our hope is in the resurrection, man, you need another thing. Man, I want to hug you and say, man, Jesus is for you and he has promised that you're going to have life you can't even imagine. And it's supernaturally going to change. And it's not the things that happen here. Jesus for you. So this passage made me ask three questions. One question is, when does the kingdom of God come? And Jesus says, it has. I'm standing right here. The kingdom of God, the kingdom we're a part of, why we're families, because Jesus Christ has come and he promises that to us. The next question that I have from this passage is can I help advance it? I want to do something for Jesus. And I bring this up because, I don't know, I saw a meme this last week. It's not unusual. And the meme said, I can remember, God gave you this day 84,600 seconds. Someone's going to do the math and tell me I'm wrong. I may have flipped some numbers around. Bradley Granger will do that. Oh, he's giving me a thumbs up. Awesome. God's gave you that 84,600 seconds. And at the end of the day, God looks at how much of those you've wasted and throws them away. Anything you didn't do for his glory. And is that God? Is that what God does? I'm getting it wrong. But you get the gist. The gist is, and there's something in here in my own heart, something like, I want to do everything for God's glory. I want to build God's kingdom. I want to be the one who's putting, getting more people in and getting things happening there. And I want to, I, and I don't want to waste a single, like somehow I can tell. Like somehow God isn't doing exactly what he wants with me and you. Like somehow it's not about the upside downness of the actual kingdom, which is God supernaturally breaking in and doing something so remarkable you'll never, ever even understand. Because it's life through death. Like, that's profound. That's what he's about. You can't advance the kingdom. It happens to you, not by you. And so this last question I have is, well, where can I see it the best, you know? Where can we really get a glimpse of the kingdom of God? So, if I was going to go around and ask you guys, some people would say, well, in my place where I see the kingdom of God is in the forest. I'd probably be close to that. I love the forest, especially if there's lots of water, ferns, green, and a gentle rain. That's my happy place. I know people would say, no, the desert. Or maybe the bustling downtown of relationships and people interacting in the city. I don't know. But you see it here in the text because it ends with this. And they said to Jesus, where, Lord? Where? And he said to them, where the corpse is, there the vultures gather. Where's this going to happen? Where does the kingdom come out? Where? And the answer is, of course, it happens in death. Death is where the action is. Death is where either you're left in your sin because the world's all you have, or you enter the promise of Jesus Christ because he has promised to resurrect us in him. The whole passage has been a kind of rhapsody on death. Don't worry about where. Vultures find the dead sheep wherever it is. You don't have to worry about. You don't have to reconfigure and get your mind thinking correctly so that you will finally glorify God. You need to receive the promise that the King has come and he has you and he does the work. It's why we say Jesus paid it all and it... It's not, oh, and it might work if you finally get your butt in gear. I have to edit that out. I shouldn't be swearing. I guess that's not really swearing. If you lose your life, death, you will find it, resurrection. That's the gospel. Death is absolutely all of the resurrection we can know. Because I don't know. I've never seen a resurrected person. I've never seen Jesus in his resurrected state. A couple people have the road to Emmaus. We'll get to see it at the end of Luke, but I haven't, and so I have to trust, and that's faith, the trust that the promises he's given us, they will come to pass. I don't think I'm ever able, and I think that's why even Jesus gives it, didn't he say? He said, oh, two people are sitting there, one's taken, one's left. The idea is you couldn't even tell if you were looking at them beforehand who's going to go. One of them's not gently glowing in suppressed holiness. They're both working, grinding away, and poof, God says, okay. Every single person dies. Every single person. And we bring that promise of where life will come in the kingdom of God, and it is that we will be raised. This is the trust as we live life here, as we enjoy what God's given us, as Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, boy, the best you can do is actually enjoy the life God has given you, because he didn't see heaven. He said, that's because God, we have no power, but we know something even better. We have a promise. He's not done, and he's using us here with the fruit he wants to. Every night he can harvest the fruit that he's done through you and at the end raise you from the dead. It's a great hope. It is the kingdom of God. And Colossians says he has delivered us. He has delivered us. He has delivered us. He's done it from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We don't maybe have redemption if we get it right. We don't perhaps get redeemed if we work really hard for God here, if we don't waste too many of those precious seconds. It's that we trust all the way through. He's got us. And so we together, us here, we gather around this amazing truth that Jesus paid it all and worked. And we realize we're all in the same boat. Our hope is in what Jesus has done for us. We are part of the kingdom. We can't understand it all because nobody's seen this resurrection state. But we trust in the word that's been given to us. The thing that has been revealed. That Jesus has revealed his kingdom. He's started it. And he will bring it to completion. Through our death into life.